Welcome to the Sixth Man Podcast. Get ready for anything and everything you want and need to know about the NBA's Toronto Raptors. Now, your host, diehard Raptor fan, Dave Lawrence.
All right. Let's get it going with a new episode of the Sixth Man Podcast, talking all things Toronto Raptors and review the week and what's going on with the team. And let's start with the record. All right. When we left you, we were playing the Knicks on Monday night, and the Raptors came up big. The Knicks at the time were 6-1. What a game by the Raptors, and OG Anunoby going for a career high at the Garden with 36 points. Unbelievable game. He had Precious with 9 rebounds, Fred with 8 assists, a 113-104 victory in the Gardens. There you go. Really impressive game. I mean, these are the games you just want to see, right? They're just out of their mind. And it looked a little dicey in the beginning, to be honest with you. They weren't playing super strong. The Knicks are one of those teams that's adapting the shoot more threes and hit more threes than the other team. They shoot a lot of threes for sure. But our defense was great, kept them in check down the stretch of the game. A lot of great performances. Even guys like Malachi put it in some, you know, important minutes. Justin Champagny played almost 7 minutes in that game as well. Banton over 8. Kem Birch has just come on to be unbelievable. He is almost doubling Precious Achiuwa's time on the floor. That Nick game playing almost 32 minutes to Achiuwa's 16:48. I mean, he was unbelievable. And I'm just, with every passing game, there's two guys I'm just falling more and more in love with. We got Scotty Barnes. Scotty B, of course. But also, I'm going to put in there Svi Mihalyk. He is unbelievable with those feet moves of his. They've got to start saying feet move by Svi Mihalyk on the broadcast here. Come on, Matt Devlin. Come on, Matty D and Jack Armstrong. He's been incredible. He plays good defense. He's great at steals, great anticipation. He can shoot from three. I thought that's all he was. Okay. Honestly, I thought we might have another Jason Capono on our hands. You remember him? Yeah, I know. The greatest thing he ever did in a Raptors uniform was win the All-Star Weekend three-point contest. I don't know. That was it. But Svi has been all over the place. I love his defense. I love his intensity. He's getting some fast breaks. He plays above the rim as well. I'm super impressed with him. He's only like 24 years old. So a great game by the Raptors. That was last Monday night against the Knicks. Moving forward, they went and played the Washington Wizards last Wednesday, 109-100 victory. Fred VanVleet, 33 points. Achiuwa with 10 rebounds. Freddie also had 6 assists. Great win. Again, sort of getting some redemption there. And then it was a game that everybody was talking about, the Battle of the Top Rookies. Yes, the Raptors took on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it was a home game, and it was really close, right down to the wire. The Raps were leading, actually, most of the game, fell apart kind of right at the end. They had Garland go to the line to shoot 2 free throws. That put them up by 1. The Raptors had 4.9 seconds left in the game. OG Anunoby with a good look, mid-range shot. Scotty actually followed up and put it back, but after the buzzer, and they lost that game by 1 single point. It was a great matchup, though, of those top 2 rookies. Scotty Barnes right now at the top of the list for Rookie of the Year in the consensus and the media polls there have him at the top of the list, but Evan Mobley right behind him. And when you look at the stats in that game, Scotty Barnes, 38 minutes. He had 14 points, you know, he got some rebounds, and then for Cleveland, the battle there, Evan Mobley with 18 points, also got some rebounds. He had some block shots, as they all do. It was really evenly matched. Those two rookies, I think those are the two that are really going to be battling out for Rookie of the Year, even though we're just like, 10 or so games into the season. I think it's going to come down to Evan Mobley or Scotty Barnes. Next up, after that, we had, after the Cleveland game, Sunday's game against the Brooklyn Nets, which did not go our way. Brooklyn was just shooting the lights out. There is nothing I think I hate more in watching NBA basketball than seeing James Harden play. I know. But he's just sluggish. He just steps back and hits threes. It's unbelievable. It's like the only skill the man has. He just steps back and hits threes. He just hits them at will. It drives me bonkers. Bonkers watching him play. But that's what pro sports is, right? Everybody's got that team or that player they love to hate. Looking at you, New York Yankees. It's flooded. Always New York teams, isn't it? Often a New York team. Is it the Knicks or the Rangers or the the Yankees for sure? The Yankees always that team you love to hate. It was a competitive game for the most part, but the Raptors just, they got it within three and just couldn't get over the hump. They did not shoot well from beyond the arc, and Brooklyn did, and that's their bread and butter. Even without Kyrie Irving, they've still got a lot of talent on that roster and took the victory. Now, what we will take away from that game is, in the post-game interview, Kevin Durant was asked of his thoughts on Scottie Barnes. Let's take a listen.
I don't think it's rare. I mean, you got a lot of guys who love to compete and love to win, and but what's more rare about Scottie Barnes is his IQ for the game, his length, you know, his enthusiasm for the game. All of that stuff shines bright when you watch him play. And, you know, you could tell he just want to be there for his teammates. He makes winning basketball plays. But I think a lot of young guys in the league had that competitive fire, but he has something a little extra as far as just seeing the game a little slower, you know, and that's rare for a guy. How old is he? 19, 20? I mean, geez, you know, he knows how to play the right way, and he's only going to get better.
Not too bad. High praise from KD. High praise from KD. KD also saying that he was really looking forward to coming back to Toronto and playing, and was really happy that the country was opened up and the team was able to not have to play in Tampa anymore and come back to Toronto. And that's pretty cool. I want to actually talk about this. Why not? There's a lot of people out there, and I don't know if you'd agree with me, a lot of people out there that say the whole incident with Durant going down in our championship run season, when we were playing Golden State in the finals, they're in Toronto, and he blows out his Achilles. Ugh, still one of the most gruesome camera close-ups of all time. Did you see that close-up of him popping his Achilles? Ugh. Anyways, and everybody gets on it for, you know, the fans being not very nice and like cheering that he got hurt. Okay, I hear that all the time, especially from analysts and NBA media and all that sort of stuff, of even though they're, and then he responded to it and said, oh, we'll never be back in a championship game anyways, so what do I care? It was all very ugly. Am I the only person that watched that game and thought, I don't think fans were cheering because he got hurt? I don't. I absolutely don't. If you go back and watch that game, if you have access to it, you can watch it. I'm sure you can watch it on YouTube. If you go back and watch that game, sometimes these, well, not sometimes, a lot of the times, analysts, people like that, they're not looking at a highlight. They're not looking at something like that and taking it from a fan's perspective. And to me, there was a much bigger picture there, and I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it was impossible that there were some bad apples that were cheering that Kevin Durant got injured in that NBA Finals matchup against the Raptors in Toronto. I'm not saying that that's impossible, but I think that there was a very small percentage that were cheering. Why were the majority of people cheering? Watch the game. I was cheering when that play happened when he got injured, but I wasn't cheering because he got hurt. I was cheering because if you're watching that game, leading up to that moment, the Raptors were getting called for so many Mickey Mouse fouls. It was unbelievable. It was so aggravating to watch. There was just the Raptors were literally just playing defense and kept getting called for foul after foul after foul. And there was a play where Durant had the ball. We got a steal, went back the other way and scored. And I was cheering. Not because he got hurt. I didn't know he got hurt at first. That's the weird thing. People are cheering off like right when it happened. I'm cheering because we actually got a steal and we're going back the other way and the refs didn't blow the whistle. In that particular instance with guys like that, like, and I hate the double standard rules in the NBA. Guys like LeBron, Kevin Durant, those truly high-end elite guys, they get so many calls. You steal the ball off of them and you hear a whistle and it's a foul. It just drives me bananas. So if you're watching that game, there was just constant, there was about five or six bad calls against the Raptors leading up to that play. Then when he seemingly loses the ball and our player goes back down the other end with it and there was no whistle, fans do that. We were cheering because, oh my goodness, we just got a steal and they didn't blow the whistle. Yeah, that's right. And we went back the other way. It was only, you know, a few minutes after that you realize that when he got up and then left the court, and fans were giving him applause when he left the court in solidarity to hope he gets, like, that's what you do. So I go back to that several times, and he's done interviews about it, and people talk about it. Nobody's talking about it from a Toronto Raptors fan's point of view. I was cheering during that play, yes, in that final matchup when he got hurt. But I wasn't cheering because he got hurt. I don't know. Am I the only one? I just, that's my belief. The calls up to that play were despicable. They were disgusting. And then we finally get a steal that doesn't get a whistle. That's why I was cheering, but hey, that's just me. Durant did say, yeah, he was excited that Toronto was open back up and he was coming back to Toronto. This is how hopeful we are of getting an elite level talent like a Kevin Durant would. Anytime, right? Anytime they say something positive about the Toronto Raptors, an elite star like that, we always just talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitter. It's everywhere, right? I think we all still remember when the Raptors got knocked out of the playoffs by LeBron and the Cavs. We were all reveling the next day in the fact that, hey, yeah, we got eliminated. But did you hear what LeBron said about us? If you can't remember, here it is.
First of all, do you hear this?
Do you hear this?
Unbelievable respect and much respect to these fans, to this country. This is unbelievable. I've never been a part of something like this in my 13-year career. This is special, and they really appreciate what their team did.
All right, next up, we have a bit of a roster update for you. If you haven't heard, I was really hopeful on this guy staying with the team, but Sam Dekker was waived and is no longer with the Toronto Raptors. Yes, the Raptors waived Sam Dekker ahead of his contract guarantee date. The Raptors are flirting with the tax line and likely are going to roll with that 14-man roster until they figure out the Dragic situation. If they had found a trade for Goran Dragic and his $19 million expiring deal, they could have kept Sam Dekker easily. And I believe that since Dragic isn't even playing anymore, they're looking to move him. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I'm honestly a bit shocked. He's not really in the rotation, but I kind of get it. You've got other players you need to take a look at. Delano Banton has been a huge surprise that I'm sure they didn't anticipate, and he's playing some point for you. You got Malachi putting in some solid minutes. Freddie, of course. Scotty is bringing up the ball as point guard sometime. He's just kind of the odd man out right now, and you got that $19 million hit against your cap right now. So I don't know if they're going to waive him. I think you want to get something for him because you know how bad Dallas wants him. I would love a Dragic for Dwight Powell, some sort of deal there, because I still believe, hey, if you can get a legit 7-footer and a Canadian at that, that could play some really good defense, I think Dwight Powell would be a terrific fit for the Toronto Raptors. So I think we're going to see a move with Dragic sooner rather than later. I don't even think it's going to take until the trade deadline. I think they're probably actively trying to get rid of him now. But it's hard to have any sort of stock when you're not playing. So we'll see what happens. But Sam Dekker, I loved his energy on the bench. He was incredible. He is also responsible for one of the greatest post-game quotes of all time about after the New York Knicks game. He tweeted out and posted on social media, when OG, Gary, and I combined for 72 points, we're tough to beat. And he didn't play a lick. He was on the bench the whole time. And he actually got the math wrong. A lot of people were crazy. So OG had 36. Gary Trent Jr. had 26. That's 62, Sam. That's 62, not 72. But it was a great quote nonetheless. I showed it to my wife. She laughed her head off. But he was a great energy. I thought he had a really great chance. He had some great looks in preseason. But Sam Dekker no longer with the Raptors. And I hope he lands on his feet and gets another look somewhere else. All right, let's talk about the return of Spicy P. That's right. The Brooklyn Nets game also saw the return of our top player, Pascal Siakam. And Pascal had a pretty good game as far as coming back. And, you know, he looked pretty good out there. I have to give credit where credit's due. Pascal put in some valuable minutes. He was on minutes restrictions, so he didn't play a ton by any means. But 25 minutes, that was his limit, and he had 15 points. He had some rebounds, had an assist. He looked pretty good out there. And Freddie was coming to his defense after the fact. He was talking to Doug Smith of the Toronto Star and said, I think it's just a reminder for the idiots on Twitter who have got to beat him for the past 2 years, Van Fleet said of Siakam's performance. He's a great player. We love having him, and he's here. He actually started at the five for the Raptors, which was an interesting move, because how do you not play or keep playing Scotty in the starting lineup? So it was a really interesting starting five that they went with at that Nets game. But we'll see how it all pans out. With Pascal coming back, obviously Scotty's numbers went a bit down because he got less looks. I don't think Scotty Barnes took a shot in the second half. So we'll see how that all sort of works itself out. And I'm going to say it and call it right now. I know it's 10 games in. You guys are just going to be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Hey, what about that clip we played of Kevin Durant talking about Scottie Barnes? I think this kid is a special talent. I think he's a face of the franchise type player. And I think that he's going to need to become the guy on our team within the next couple of years. So I don't know what that means for Pascal. I don't know if you can keep him, if he can go into that second role or not. But I truly believe that within the next 2 years, Scottie Barnes' talent will be even better than Pascal's. And Pascal's no schlub, all right? I'm not saying he is. He's an all-star caliber player. But I honestly think, and I've been against the pass. I have not been on the Pascal train from day one, to be honest with you, because he reminds me a lot of Chris Bosh. Those were not successful years we had with Chris Bosh. That lanky power forward that could shoot, dribble a bit. I just feel like I've seen that show before, and I don't know. I don't subscribe to it. That's just what I remember. It's no knock on him. He works hard. He's trying to win. I get it. He's got a lot of skill, but for the right deal, I would absolutely trade Pascal. I think Scottie's the future, and I'm just going to call it now. I'm going to call it now, and I'm going to play this back a couple years from now, a couple seasons from now on the podcast to hopefully say I was right. And I'll own it if I wasn't. I'll own it if I wasn't. But Pascal coming back is a good thing for sure, no question. But it does mean, you know, somebody's going to take less shots, and it seemed to be Scottie Barnes in that game against the Nets. What do we have coming up this week, you ask? Well, the Raptors are back in action on Wednesday as they go to the Gardens. Not this one in New York. They go to Boston to play the Celtics, who are very underwhelming so far this year. Of course, Luka just had that lights-out three-pointer at the buzzer to take the wind out of their sails the other night. Then after that, they'll be going up against the Philadelphia 76ers on Thursday. The Pistons back in Toronto on Saturday. Get our first look at Cade Cunningham, who has not been playing well so far. So hopefully he can pick things up. And we'll keep track of any more rumors or anything like that that's going on. Nothing else other than that movement with Sam Dekker on the roster. But I don't know. Don't discount Masai and Bobby Webster. They'll make a move by the trade deadline if they have a good one. And we'll see. We'll see if guys like Ben Simmons are still in play. The 76, that is just one of the biggest messes I think I've ever seen in pro sports with a star caliber player and their franchise. That just needs to end. But give it up to Daryl Morey. He said in the press that this could go on for 4 years. So he doesn't look like he's going to get fleeced by anybody. He's not looking for 10 cents on the dollar, even though he probably should at this point. Kyrie Irving, what's going to happen with him? Do not call the Raptors. They do not want Kyrie Irving. He's always injured and stuff. Forget the COVID. He's just always injured, high priced. Yes, he has an elite talent, but I have absolutely no interest to have him on the Raptors. And a couple other guys. Some other lower-level guys, too, that I like for the Raptors, like a Marvin Bagley from Sacramento. Love to make a deal with them. Maybe get him in. He'd be a great young power forward to have as well. He would really fit our team for the size factor. So we'll see. We'll keep our eye on it. We'll keep you up to date and keep following Canada's team, the Toronto Raptors. Till next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Sixth Man Podcast. Sixth Man Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow the show on Instagram at the Sixth Man Podcast. Join us next time for another episode of the Sixth Man Podcast.